Here on VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Gregory Stockel reports on the recent protests in Iran. Dan Friedel has a story about wild cheetahs living in India. And Faith Perlow explains the difference between the words remember and recall. Later, we listen to part one of the Edgar Allan Poe story, William Wilson. But first, here is Gregory Stockel.
Protests have spread across Iran in recent days. They began after 22-year-old Mahsa Amini died while being held by the morality police for violating the country's Islamic dress rules. Iran's morality police arrested Amini on September 13th in Tehran. She was visiting there from her hometown in the country's western Kurdish area. She collapsed at a police station and died 3 days later. Police held her for reportedly wearing a head covering or hijab too loosely. Iran requires women to wear a head covering in a way that completely covers their hair in public. The police denied Amini was mistreated and said she died of a heart attack. Amini's family said she had no history of heart problems. The family said they were prevented from seeing her body before she was buried. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi promised an investigation into her death. The demonstration started after her funeral in the Kurdish city of Sakhez last Saturday. Many Iranians have come to see Amini's death as part of the Islamic Republic's severe policing of dissent and violent treatment of women. The street protests began with women taking off their legally required head coverings, with some cutting their hair in public. Then, protesters in the capital Tehran and other Iranian cities set police stations and vehicles on fire. 9 security force members were killed in the unrest. An official said that 76 others were injured in the Mazandaran area, and police in the Kurdistan area said more than 100 security forces were wounded. Reports by Kurdish rights group Hengal said 15 people had died in Kurdish areas, and 733 had been injured. A video posted on the social media Twitter account 1500 Tasvir showed in the northeast, protesters shouted, "We will die. We will die, but we will get Iran back." Reuters news agency said it did not have independent confirmation of the rights group report or the video. The watch group NetBlox reported that the internet was disrupted in the country. It is a possible sign that officials fear the protests will increase. The United States Treasury Department said the U.S. placed sanctions on Iran's morality police. It accused them of abuse and violence against Iranian women and of violating the rights of peaceful Iranian protesters. It also blamed the morality police responsible for the death of Amini. Iranian women can go to school, work outside the home, and hold public office. But they are required to cover themselves in public by wearing hijabs and long, loose-fitting robes. Unmarried men and women are barred from spending time together. The rules, which date back to the days after the 1979 Islamic Revolution, are enforced by the morality police. Enforcement was eased under former President Hassan Rouhani. In 2017, the head of the force said it would no longer arrest women for violating the rules. But under Raisi, who was elected last year, the morality police returned to enforce the rules. The UN Human Rights Office said in recent months, women have been hit in the face, hit with sticks, and pushed into police vehicles. I'm Gregory Stockel.
For the first time since 1952, wild cheetahs are living in India. Eight of the big cats arrived Saturday from the southern African nation of Namibia. They are part of a reintroduction program and will live in a large open space. Cheetahs once lived in India but died out about 70 years ago. Scientists hope the cats will learn to hunt deer and other wild animals in the area, and they hope the cheetahs will reproduce. The cheetahs coming to Africa are slightly different from the Asian ones, which were widespread in India. Those died out due to hunting and human population growth. There are very few Asian cheetahs remaining, mostly in Iran. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi released the cats into the wild on Saturday. When the cheetah will run again, grasslands will be restored, biodiversity will increase, and ecotourism will get a boost, Modi said. Nature experts hope that as more people learn about the cheetahs in India, they will be interested in working to save the grasslands on which they live. In many countries, the places where cheetahs live are getting smaller and smaller due to human population growth and climate change. Cheetahs once lived throughout Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. But now, however, they live on just 9% of that original land. There are about 7,000 adult cheetahs in the world. Lori Marker is a researcher with the Cheetah Conservation Fund. She said she hopes the cheetahs can find an appropriate home in India. If they survive, spread out, and have babies, the area where they live could support 21 cheetahs. To save cheetahs from extinction, we need to create permanent places for them on Earth, Marker said. In South Africa, however, cheetahs are running out of space. So groups such as Marker's are looking for new cheetah homes. Four cheetahs, recently captured in South Africa, were sent to the East African country of Mozambique. 12 cheetahs from South Africa are currently waiting to be sent to India's Kuno National Park. While many are celebrating the cheetah relocation project, others think it is too early in the project to form an opinion. Mayuk Chatterjee is with the International Union for Conservation of Nature. He said there could be unintended effects of the move. The question remains how well it's done. One concern is how the cheetahs will affect other animals, such as hyenas, a kind of wild dog, or birds. Another is what will happen if the cheetahs do too well. People in India are currently worried about tigers. a fast rise in the population of the large cats has led to more tiger-human interactions. The cheetahs from Namibia will wear tracking devices around their necks. They will start off in a smaller, safe area for 1 month before they are released to a larger area. They will be living in the same area as deer and antelope. Scientists hope the cheetahs will learn how to hunt them. Other predators, such as bears and leopards, will not be able to get into the area. The project is expected to cost more than $11 million. It includes relocating a small village on the edge of the cheetah area. About $6 million of the cost will be paid by state-run Indian Oil. The African cheetahs are distant family members of the cheetahs that once lived in Asia. Early on, the hope was to bring in Asiatic cheetahs, but there are too few. There are still concerns about whether the project will work. One expert thinks it would be better to work on saving the cheetahs where they live. Pamela Berger studies conservation genetics at the University of Veterinary Medicine in Austria. She calls the future of the cheetahs in India questionable and says it would be better to conserve them now where they are. But another researcher, Adrian Tordiff, said it has not been easy to keep the African cheetahs safe, and sometimes they need help to get to places where they can live more easily. Tordiff is an animal doctor and wildlife specialist who worked on the cheetah relocation project. He said, India has shown an ability to keep large cats safe because of strong conservation laws. For example, the population of tigers has increased by almost 100% in the last 15 years. We cannot sit back and hope that species like cheetah will survive on their own without our help, he said. I'm Dan Friedel.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question from Jego in Ethiopia about the difference between remember and recall. Dear Learning English, what is the difference between remember and recall? Thank you, Jego from Ethiopia. Dear Jego, thank you for writing to us again and asking this question. Both recall and remember are verbs that involve memory, thinking about something that happened in the past. In many cases, the two words are interchangeable. Remember is a verb that means to think about the past. You can create from memory a mental picture of the past. I remember playing outside a lot as a child. The opposite of remember is to forget something. We often use remember as a command so others do not forget something important. Remember to take the cat to the animal hospital. Don't forget to take the cat to the animal hospital. Recall has a few different meanings and uses. It can be similar in meaning to remember. This meaning is to call back into memory or access something from memory again. I don't recall meeting her last year. In this sentence, we can replace recall with remember, as the meanings are similar. As a noun, recall is the ability to remember something, or the act of remembering. The first syllable of the word is stressed. So we say recall, not recall. Although he had not spoken French for a while, his recall of vocabulary was amazing. Recall also has two more uses as verbs. The first means to order someone back to a place or country officially. She was recalled back to her home country because her visa expired. We often use the passive voice with this meaning of recall. Lastly, as a verb, to recall something means to order back. We often use this expression when talking about businesses or companies asking for products to be returned because there's something wrong with them. Car companies often recall cars to change the safety system. Remember means to keep something in your memory, while recall means to access your memory. You cannot exchange do not forget with recall, only with remember. Acceptable. Don't forget the flowers for the wedding. Acceptable. Remember the flowers for the wedding. Not acceptable. Recall the flowers for the wedding. Please let us know if these examples have helped you, Jago. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
William Wilson, Part 1.
Let me call myself, for the present, William Wilson. That is not my real name. That name has already been the cause of the horror, of the anger of my family. Have not the winds carried my name with my loss of honor to the ends of the earth? Am I not forever dead to the world, to its honors, to its flowers, to its golden hopes, and the cloud heavy and endless? Does it not hang forever between my hopes and my heaven? Men usually become bad by degrees, but I let all goodness fall from me in a single moment, as if I had dropped a coat. From small acts of darkness I passed in one great step into the blackest evil ever known. Listen, while I tell you of the cause that made this happen. Death is near, and its coming has softened my spirit. I desire, in passing through this dark valley, the understanding of other men. I wish them to believe that I have been in some ways in the power of forces beyond human control. I wish them to find for me in the story I'm about to tell some small fact that proves I could only have done what I did. I would have them agree that what happened to me never happened to other men. Is it not true that no one has ever suffered as I do? Have I not indeed been living in a dream? And am I not now dying from the horror and the unanswered question? The mystery of the wildest dream ever dreamed on earth. I am one of a family well known for their busy minds. As a small child, I showed clearly that I too had the family character. As I became older, it grew more powerful in me. For many reasons, it became a cause of talk among friends, and the hurt it did me was great. I wanted people always to do things my way. I acted like a fool. I let my desires control me. My father and mother, weak in body and mind, could do little to hold me back. When their efforts failed, of course, my will grew stronger. And from then on, my voice in the house was law. At an age when few children are allowed to be free, I was left to be guided by my own desires. I became the master of my own actions. I remember my first school. It was in a large house, about 300 years old, in a small town in England, among a great number of big trees. All of the houses there were very old. In truth, it was a dreamlike and spirit-quieting place, that old town. At this moment, I seemed to feel the pleasant coolness under the shade of the trees. I remember the sweetness of the flowers. I hear again with delight, I cannot explain, the deep sound of the church bell each hour breaking the stillness of the day. It gives me pleasure to think about this school, as much pleasure, perhaps, as I am now able to experience. Deep in suffering as I am, suffering only too real, perhaps no one will object if for a short time I forget my troubles and tell a little about this period. Moreover, the period and place are important. It was then and there that I first saw hanging over me the terrible promise of things to come. Let me remember. The house where we boys lived and went to school was, as I have said, old and wide. The grounds about it were large, and there was a high wall around the outside of the whole school. Beyond this wall we went three times in each week, on one day to take short walks in the neighboring fields, and two times on Sunday to go to church. This was the one church in the village, and the head teacher of our school was also the head of the church. With a spirit of deep wonder and of doubt, I used to watch him there. This man with slow step and quiet, thoughtful face, in clothes so different and shining clean. Could this be the same man who, with a hard face and clothes far from clean, stood ready to strike us if we did not follow the rules of the school? Oh, great and terrible question, beyond my small power to answer. I well remember our playground, which was behind the house. There were no trees, and the ground was as hard as stone. In front of the house there was a small garden, but we stepped into this garden only at very special times, such as when we first arrived at school, or when we left it for the last time, or perhaps when father or mother or a friend came to take us away for a few days. But the house! What a delightful old building it was! To me, truly a palace. There was really no end to it. I was not always able to say certainly which of its two floors I happened to be on. From each room to every other, there were always three or four steps either up or down. Then the rooms branched into each other, and these branches were too many to count, and often turned and came back upon themselves. Our ideas about the whole great house were not very far different from the thoughts we had about time without end. During the 5 years I was there, I could never have told anyone how to find the little room where I and some 18 or 20 other boys slept. The schoolroom was the largest room in the house, and I couldn't help thinking it was the largest in the world. It was long and low, with pointed windows and heavy wood overhead. In a far corner was the office of our head teacher, Mr. Bransby. This office had a thick door, and we would rather have died than open it when he was not there. Inside the thick walls of this old school, I passed my years from 10 to 15. Yet I always found it interesting. A child's mind does not need the outside world. In the quiet school I found more bright pleasure than I found later as a young man in riches, or as an older man in wrongdoing. Yet I must have been different indeed from most boys. Few men remember much of their early life. My early days stand out as clear and plain as if they'd been cut in gold. In truth, the hotness of my character and my desire to lead and command soon separated me from the others. Slowly I gained control over all who were not greatly older than myself. Over all, except one. This exception was a boy who, though not of my family, had the same name as my own, William Wilson. This boy was the only one who ever dared to say he did not believe all I told him, and who would not follow my commands. This troubled me greatly. I tried to make the others think that I didn't care. The truth was that I felt afraid of him. I had to fight to appear equal with him, but he easily kept himself equal with me. Yet no one else felt, as I did, that this proved him the better of the two. Indeed, no one else saw the battle going on between us. All his attempts to stop me in what I wanted to do were made when no one else could see or hear us. He did not desire, as I did, to lead the other boys. He seemed only to want to hold me back. Sometimes with wonder, and always without pleasure, I saw that his manner seemed to show a kind of love for me. I did not feel thankful for this. I thought it meant only that he thought himself to be very fine indeed, better than me. Perhaps it was this love he showed for me, added to the fact that we had the same name, and also that we had entered the school on the same day, which made people say that we were brothers. Wilson did not belong to my family, even very distantly. But if we had been brothers, we would have been near to each other indeed, for I learned that we were both born on the 19th of January, 1809. This seemed a strange and wonderful thing.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.